everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From creches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Moin, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm joined by father of one, Darren Gorman, to talk about his experience with his daughter at local school. This will be the final episode in this little mini-series I've done where I've tried to interview a parent at most of the English language schools, and I thought, why not give the local schools a chance? Chances are, if you are an English speaker and you're curious about local school, that's one of the things that's probably the least accessible for you because none of it is happening in English. So give it a listen and let me know what you think. And as always, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me via email at momlife@rtltoday.lu, or you can find me on social media at momlife in Luxembourg. Merci Filmus, and enjoy the show. Hi, Darren. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Haley. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks very much for joining me, especially on such short notice. So today we're going to talk about the local schools. This is going to be the last episode in part of my little mini series where I've interviewed a parent from most of the English language options here. So spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to those yet, go back and listen to them. I thought I should round it out with a chance for a parent perception of the local school, because chances are if you're an English speaker, the local school is the least accessible for you. Certainly was for me. Obviously, the local school means you automatically get a spot, but before we launch into that, I like to start every episode with your Luxembourgish story. So if you wouldn't mind in as much detail as you feel comfortable sharing publicly, tell me about you, tell me how long you've been here and your family, etc.
Sure, Haley. Thanks again for the opportunity. And I think it's a really important topic in terms of schools and school selection, whether that's in Luxembourg or elsewhere. But in terms of my own journey to Luxembourg, it originally began over 20 years ago. So I came here first in 2000, and I was here for almost 3 years. And then about 8 years ago, got the opportunity to come back to set up an office here for what should have been 18 months. And 8 years later, we're still here.
Wow.
And who's the we? So there's now three of us. So there's my wife and my daughter. So the first time around in 2000, neither of those were with me. So obviously the experience coming back 8 years ago when we had what was essentially, she was 2 years old, just over 2 years old at that stage. We had to look at options in terms of schooling, in terms of education that previously hadn't been a factor for us.
Was it hard for you to make the decision to come back here for a second time?
Frankly, no. We actually, so in the intervening period, I worked for a Belgian-Luxembourg bank, which subsequently morphed into a Canadian joint venture with. So I was back probably every 6 to 8 weeks in Luxembourg across, say, 13 years.
Oh, okay.
And we also spent about 6 years in London. So I suppose if I could describe, I've probably been outside of Ireland, where we're originally from, for longer than we have been in it from a work perspective.
And was your wife on board?
She was, actually. So funnily enough, we actually got married in Luxembourg back in 2006. We had people travel over from Ireland for that at the time. So yeah, she was very much keen to come back. And that obviously made things a little bit easier as well, because clearly if one person is working, that's their sole focus. But if there are other family members in tow, making sure that they're happy, that they're comfortable, and that they feel part of the journey as well is really important.
You moved here when your daughter was two and a half, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I assume she was just speaking English because you guys are Irish, both. Yes. Irish. Did you consider, talk to me, what creche did you put her in? Like, I guess let's just start there.
I think initially we put her into the local creche, or I suppose what would be Montessori, if you can.
Like a public creche? Like the kind that they're like unicorns that you have to get on the wait list?
There was two, actually. So she started, I think, in what would be essentially called a private creche initially. So she went there, but that was multilingual as well. So it wasn't just English. And then she simply just, where we lived, was very close to the sort of the local, I guess, preschool. And we enrolled her in that. And that was Luxembourgish.
Okay. So at creche, she was exposed to other languages. I guess French and Luxembourgish? Or?
Yeah, I think probably certainly French and Luxembourgish seem to be the two.
Did you ever consider English school?
We had conversations with friends that had been here a long time who, on the one hand, the children went to local school, had a great experience. On the other, they went to English speaking schools and had a great experience. So I think the decision was in part made by some of the experiences that I had of working with people here in Luxembourg for a number of years, where you could go into a meeting and you could have five people and they would speak French, they would speak German, they would speak English, they would speak Italian, whatever language. And I think the decision-making process or thought-making process was, we felt that it was an opportunity for her to learn a language whilst being here. That thought process was, look, if it doesn't work, then we can always switch to an English-speaking system. However, I think if you start in an English-speaking system, it's very difficult to go the other way.
Yeah.
I guess we had the luxury in some respect of her being so young that at two and a half, she didn't really know any different, and she seemed to be able to pick it up pretty quickly. But I guess if you have older children who are coming here who just have English, then it's a little bit more difficult to do that. But we felt it was an opportunity worth trying.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been pretty public about my experience with local schools. When we came, my oldest, I think, was 7, and we tried to put him in German, and it just did not gel. Do you guys speak any other languages at home? You and your wife?
Really, I have a little bit of French and German from my own school days and probably some that I've picked up being here across two different stints. But in terms of day-to-day interactions, no, it's English.
So when she was 2 or 3 or 4 and she's coming home and saying things, did you know what she was saying?
Being truthful? No. I think one of the things I found was having a little bit of German, the Luxembourgish, and the German, obviously there is some crossover there. So you could maybe understand 50% of what was happening through context and otherwise. But that was one of the things, actually, in fairness, friends of mine who had sent their kids to local school who are now teenagers, they said, actually, it's great for them because they have a language then that they can talk amongst themselves and you don't really know what they're saying.
Absolutely.
But I think, again, that downside outweighs the benefit.
Oh, totally. I love that my baby, my youngest, is saying things and I have no idea what he's saying and asking my middle to translate because I'm like, I know that's a word. I just don't know what that is. And now we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Lisa Burke, and I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome you to The Lisa Burke Show, your go-to place for eclectic conversations that really matter, the kind that make you think, feel, and hopefully leave you a little bit more inspired. Every week, I'll be chatting with some truly incredible guests, experts, everyday heroes, and maybe even sharing a little of what's going on in my own life. I'm all about finding stories that move me, unpacking everything from the latest trends to the deeper human issues that shape how we connect and live. So grab your coffee, get comfy, or take your dog for a walk and hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And don't forget you can watch the full episodes on RTL Play and listen every week on Today Radio, The Lisa Burke Show, where we explore life in Luxembourg and beyond.
If you're enjoying Mum Life, you might also enjoy Today Radio's Office Hours with me, Adam Peterson. It is the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. We have many mum-friendly topics on the show. The merits of hybrid working, how to choose a gym, and how performance is managed in different industries. In the same way dads are welcome on Mum Life, you don't have to work in an office to enjoy Office Hours. Get Office Hours wherever you get your episodes of Mum Life.
I like this idea, this attitude of we can always go to English, we can always pivot to English, but in the meantime, when they're young and they're sponges, let's go local school. I happen to know your daughter, and I happen to know she's really good at languages. So my question is, when did you realize that she was really good at languages?
I think relatively early on. I think obviously probably by the second year or so, I think we figured actually she might be picking this up and it's clearly something she's got an ear for, if that's the term. And so I suppose it just built from there. I remember on one occasion we were in Spain and she realized that that wasn't French or German, it was another language. So she was again asking, how do I learn this? How do I say this? So we probably around 4 years of age, maybe a little bit older, we realized, okay, this is working. And then when she moved into the local school in terms of the primary school, again, that was the feedback was, yeah, she is picking up the language and she's understanding what we're saying to us and she's able to communicate back.
That's really cool. She was able to decode stuff even in Spain, even though that's not one of the languages. Yeah. I love that. So I think I got ahead of myself a little bit, but broad strokes, she's now in primary school, almost to secondary school, right? How's it going overall? You glad that you stuck with it?
In short, yes. Look, I think it's like any school system, there's good and bad. In our case, there's, you know, I think the languages are the strong point with her. There's probably other areas in terms of maths, for example, where there's a little bit of work that needs to go in. And I think that's also something that the parents have to be on board with as well, whether I think you're in an English speaking school or a local school.
Are you saying that the curriculum is so focused on languages that they neglect other subjects?
No, I just think that you'll find some children have aptitudes for languages, some children have aptitude for the maths or other subjects. So I think it's just about getting that balance right and making sure that there's the supports there. And to be honest, we've found thus far that there has been a great deal of support for her in terms of that journey through the school system. Appreciate that might not be everyone's experience. And I think I've heard stories from people who've had bad experiences with local schools and they've had to move children, they've had to change. I think so far it hasn't all been perfect, but on balance, it's worked.
I'm glad you brought up getting supports, because one thing that I understand about local schools, there's no principal. The administration is at the commune. Mm. So if you do need support, what is that process like?
So I'll be very transparent with you. You probably need my wife on for this bit of it, but certainly from what I've seen of the engagement, yes, it is centralized to a point, but we found certainly in terms of talking with the teacher on a one-to-one basis, in terms of attending the bylines, etc., that they do join the dots and they do make sure that if there is particular assistance needed with a subject, that assistance is forthcoming. And we found that to be pretty proactive in terms of them actually saying, look, this support is available, this is how you access it, this is what it looks like in terms of the classroom setting as well. But look, I think it's, again, like everything, there's a little bit of work required to make sure that you get to the right people and you get the right supports.
I think it also probably depends on what kind of support you need. So for example, if it's just academic, like if you just need extra help in math, that's probably not that hard to support. Yeah. But if you have something more obscure or maybe a different learner profile or you have autism or something, I don't know. They have all these government centers, right? But to get to the government center to give you that support, it's a whole other journey.
Yes.
And in April, I'm doing a bunch of episodes on special education in Luxembourg, so tune in for those. Okay, so if you're not so good at languages, do you think you can still make it in that school? If you're a math guy.
Look, I think it's going to be difficult if you don't understand what's going on around you. I think that just would naturally be a challenge. I think of that in my own sort of day-to-day engagement with people in work or other contexts. If you're sitting there and you don't understand what's happening, then that's a difficult situation to face.
Yeah. And how do you feel about when they make that cutoff to decide if you're going to classique or technique or whatever?
I think we're not quite at that point yet, but we've certainly, again, from talking to people and the experiences of others, it can be quite, maybe brutal is the wrong word, but I think it's quite formal in terms of how they approach it. And I would say maybe looking at people's experiences in other countries, it's maybe a very rigid approach in terms of how that decision is made, and maybe, you know, doesn't take into account sort of individual characteristics that perhaps are important.
I have always just thought that was so wild, because I'm in my 40s and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up, right? So if that came down and they said, oh, your daughter is, I assume that you want her to go to university. I assume that you'd want her to be on the classique track. But if they, for some reason, said, you know what? No, she's technique all the way. What could you do? And would you consider at that point pulling her and putting her into an English track?
Perhaps. Look, I think there's many variables there. And I think we'd have to look at what the options are, both locally and otherwise. As I say, comparing the here and now to what we, for example, would have in Ireland, much smaller class sizes, much more what I would describe one-to-one attention. I think they're the benefits. And let's see when we get to that point in terms of how that decision comes down.
To go back to the curriculum, they obviously spend a ton of time on the languages. Do you know to what extent they access other subjects like history and art and music and the kind of less English, math, French?
I think probably two things that struck me early on was the fact that even from a very young age, they were out, they were going to the forest, they were being out and about and experiencing nature. That was one of the things which I suppose, just again, comparing to some experiences of family members back in Ireland, is maybe a little bit different. The music side, you mentioned that. Our daughter is involved in the choir locally, seems to really enjoy that, and that seems to be encouraged as well. One thing that I've just noticed maybe is things like history and geography. I'm sure they come in the curriculum, but they seem to come quite a bit later maybe than they would be, again, from what I would see, for example, in Ireland. So, look, I think it's a different educational experience in some respects. Is anywhere perfect? Probably it's not. There's benefits and there's downsides to everything. But yeah, certainly I think it's given her a well-rounded view, I think, so far on what's out there. And I think it's also given, look, Luxembourg is a melting pot of cultures. I think it's also been hugely beneficial just in terms of the different cultures and an appreciation of the different cultures. Again, how do you capture that when it comes to exams and week or technique? I'm not sure that you fully do, but I think in building that well-rounded individual, hopefully it gives them an opportunity now, which they wouldn't have in other systems.
Yeah, that's great. That brings me to my next question, which is the social emotional being aspect of attending that school. Clearly, if you go to a local school, you're going to have friends who live in your neighborhood, right? And you can order food, in theory, at the mall or whatever. Talk to me about that aspect for your daughter.
I think it's probably two things. It's helped, I think, tremendously in terms of integration. So I work in financial services. Ireland and Luxembourg are the two big fund hubs in Europe. So when I moved back here, people in the industry here would say, oh, are you just visiting? Are you here for a couple of weeks? And I was like, no, we've moved. And in fact, actually, my daughter's in the local school and da-da. And I think what we found is some of the connections that we've made have been off the back of the fact that she does go to the local school, the fact that she's involved in some of those local activities, and frankly, can speak Luxembourgish. I think that is helpful. It's helpful for her, but it's also helpful for us in that sense. Yeah, I think being involved as well, she's very keen to do extracurricular activities. I mentioned she's involved in the choir. She's recently joined the Scouts. I think there's some opportunities there which have opened up, again, because she's got the languages.
How welcoming would you say has that community been with the Scouts, and how accessible with the Scouts, with the choir, with her extracurriculars? And talk to me also about how you as a family cope with that schedule where they come home for lunch for 2 hours or they get out at noon, because that was a disaster for me.
Whether it's choir, whether it's basketball, whether it's the Scouts, I think they have been open and welcoming. In terms of the scheduling, again, I'd have to defer to my wife on that front. Look, I think maybe we've just been fortunate, or maybe we're comparing against a system which, is not really at the standard of Luxembourg. But we found with the foyer, with the timings of that, with her having access to that, that that has been hugely helpful. There's always a bit of running and racing in terms of particularly the after school activities during the week. As she's got a little bit older now, she's a little bit more independent in terms of getting to or coming from those activities. But as somebody said to me a long time ago before I had children, was once the children come along, you end up just being a taxi driver, essentially. And I didn't quite know what he meant by that at the time.
But now you do.
But now I do. And even weekends, very often there's a basketball match. There's now scouts on a Saturday morning. She also, as well, just maintaining the Irish links. She does Irish dancing. So and she does Gaelic football as well.
She takes another language too, right?
She does Italian, yes.
Oh my goodness. This girl's scheduled.
So actually, it's funny trying to actually get time in the schedule outside of school holidays. Pretty much the weekends are quite full with her activities.
So overall, would you recommend local school for people who, the two parents probably only speak English or don't speak any of the official languages at home, to help with their homework, etc.?
Look, I would say give it a try. I think definitely give it a try. Given where we are, given there are options, I would say why not? It's not for everybody, but I think if you give it a try, and as I say, back to my original sort of comment in terms of our decision making, was there's always the option to go the other way if it doesn't work out.
Absolutely. I wish I had this podcast as a resource before I came here. Is there anything else you want to tell anyone who wants to know about local school?
We found it a positive experience by and large. Look, there have been a couple of speed bumps along the way, but I think that's just part of life, and that's just, I suppose, part of understanding a new system and how the system works. And I think that's part of anything. It's you've got to understand how the system works, and once you understand that, or at least understand it to a large extent, then you know how to navigate it or navigate through as well.
Absolutely. I've interviewed, I think, 7 parents now about their experiences in schools. And none of them are perfect, right? They all do come down to the teachers and the curriculum and just a whole balance of things. But Darren, thank you so much. This has been super helpful.
That's all. Thanks very much, Haley.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment, or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram at momlife in Luxembourg. Thanks so much, and have a great day.